Oh yeah. We are back once again. We are back. Nugs Country Wrestling Podcast. This is episode, guess what, number 17. We got Tim Dixon coming in about quarter after the hour at 8:15. And of course, I got my partner in crime, broadcast journalist number one, Big Country, on the line. How are you tonight, brother?
Hey, what's up, Joey Nugs? I'll tell you what, man. There's already a buzz about your new wrestling company, and you know, I've got a lot of people that are telling me, "Hey, drop my name to Mr. Nugs, see if I can get on there." So, I mean, you haven't even had your first show, and you got guys itching to get booked.
Yeah, and it's phenomenal. I spoke to earlier in the day. I spoke to the man that's over tops the Park and Recreation Commission for the town of Huntersville. And he already told me, he said, "Man, get me a flyer. The teacher, all the teachers at the high school, as well as the students that are athletes that are already there that are working out for the multiple different teams getting ready for the school year, they're already buzzing, talking about, when's the show going to be? Who's going to be on it?" So it's going to be big, I'm working right now with, of course, my booker, partner in crime, the insane lumberjack Timber. Yeah, he's the booker. He's also someone, you know, I could trust in the world of professional wrestling. He's in negotiations right now with some big names in professional wrestling. So we're hoping, if cross fingers, we're going to have a name on our first show to help us draw a big crowd. And I want to give these people out here in Lake Norman a good quality viewing experience when it comes to pro wrestling. So that's going to be great.
Most definitely. You know, you don't ever see advertisements for wrestling in Lake Norman. So, you know, it's like a virgin territory for this stuff. And, you know, it's good to have Timber as a booker, because I'll tell you what, Timber's not a pushover. Me and you both know we've worked for some pushover bookers to let, you know, workers push them around and, you know, tell them what to do and everything. And that's one thing Timber is not. You go to him trying to run your mouth, you might get it smacked off your face.
Agree 100%. Timber is not a pushover. He's someone that knows the business. He's someone that's going to make sure that it makes sense. Anything that goes out in front of that curtain, it goes into the ring, there's going to be something that's going to entertain the crowd. That's also going to be something that's going to make you want to come back and see the next show. Going to make you want to spend the money and buy a ticket to see what's going to happen next. And this is the headlines going on the top of the flyer. I'm waiting for it right now. Just when you thought it was safe to go back in the water, underground pro wrestling invades Lake Norman. Lake Norman Charter High School, 12701 Old Statesville Road, Huntersville, North Carolina. It's going to be Saturday, June 18th. Doors open at 6 o'clock, bell time at 7:30. Ticket information is available. You can give a call. Local number 704-430-1153. Kids under 3 are free. Under the age of 10 is only $5. Ringside seats are 15. General admission floor seats are 12. General admission bleacher seats are 10. And I'm doing this for everyone. We went through up and down. A $2 student discount on all seats in the building, no matter if it's a front row, VIP seating, with your school ID card. You show up with your school ID card, show us you're a student, and hey, we're going to give you $2 off any ticket in the building. We're already lining it up right now. Our main event's going to be a heavyweight championship underground rules match. Since we're underground, we're going to establish our own rules at our company. Underground rules means no countouts, no disqualification, and falls count anywhere in Lake Norman. And not only the building, if Timber wants to take the guy outside, if the wrestlers are wrestling underground rules, you can go. I don't care. As long as the referee wants to follow you, we can get a pin. It might be in the stands. It might be in the front row. It might be in the bathroom. It might be out of the concession stand while you're getting a hot dog. You might turn around while you're getting a soda pop, and a guy gets pinned 30 feet away from you. It's going to be a phenomenal viewing experience, and I'm going to make sure that we stack the card. We're bringing in just the very best wrestlers that I can get, that money can buy. I'm going to make sure these people are wowed. You know, I'm used to working with some of the best promoters in the Carolina, and I'm bringing that quality. I'm still working with them as we speak, and I'm bringing in some of the best, some of the heavy hitters, to make sure the show goes over huge. And it's going to be great. Like I said, we got Tim Dixon coming in. He's from Carolina Independent Wrestling. He ran the Carolina Independent Wrestling website, got his start there. And, you know, that was the everything at one time. If you wanted to find out what was going on in pro wrestling, that was the spot to go. He also is a ring announcer, been doing ring announcing all over the place. He also was the play-by-play guy for the former NWA Charlotte. And I got a chance to work for NWA Charlotte, and I'm going to tell you, it had something. J.D. Costello's product was there, and it had something. Shame it just ended so quick. You know, and I want to talk to him about other things that he's doing, so it'll be great. Next week's guest is going to be Rick Mead, a.k.a. Mastodon, one of my good friends and one of your good friends as well, I'm sure. He's going to come in here. He's an old-school wrestler. Tay has an old-school mentality, and he's going to come in and be, I'm sure, very candid and give us a great interview. Also got more and more wrestlers, but we'll keep them under hats for a surprise on next week's show. We'll tell you what's coming up beyond Mastodon. So that's going to be good. And we got about 8:15. Hopefully, Tim Dixon is going to be calling it. But this week's rant, I'm going to get down to it. Pissed off and mad about it. It's always something in this world that something that happens either in my day-to-day life personally or something I witness personally. And I'm saying, man, we got to talk on this subject, you know. And this week is why some assholes think they have to make a dollar off of everything in the world of professional wrestling. Now, understand something, and this is one subject. I had a friend of mine, you know, somebody else in the business, trying to track down a wrestler's telephone number because I want to book them on the show. I want to pass it on to my booker, Timber, and say, hey, these are people that I'm interested. Let me know if you think this is business. I mean, at the end of the day, he's the booker, so I'm giving him, you know, he's got to say so. But, you know, but I'm trying to get the information so he can contact wrestlers to book. And I actually had another wrestler say, who's this for? I handle bookings for him. I got to get percentage of everything that he gets. Who's this for? Are you fucking kidding me? We're all in the indies, man. That'd be like if someone called me and said, hey, You do that show with Big Country? I was like, yeah, he's a good friend of mine, and I've managed him in the past. He goes, well, give me Big Country's number. Well, what's in it for me? Why would I stop you from making money, Big Country? If we work in the same business, that's like me. I'd be like me and you in a race, and we're running. We're both trying to get to the same goal, and we're 3 feet in front of the goal, and you're ahead of me, and I'm going to trip you so you don't get over the goal and fall down. We're trying to both get to the same place.
It sounds like you got somebody that acts like the guy's friend just so he can mooch off him.
Right, obviously. It's going to be someone that's a moocher. It's obviously somebody that in the world that their level or whatever never got to that success. I mean, I got enough going on in my life right now that I have a positive income, but obviously that I'm able to try to finance and run a wrestling company. I'm not doing it alone. I got some great people that are helping me, but and the reality is, you know, I'm going out on a limb. But if I could do it, somebody else could come up with the money that you ought to be able to have enough income in your life that you ain't got to try to squeeze somebody else in a business for a couple of fucking C-notes over top of their booking rate. So I got to pay the wrestler his booking rate, then some jabroni that ain't going to even be at the show. Fuck you and the horse you rode in on. I'm not doing it, not today, not tomorrow, not next week, not next millennium. And the real truth is, if he would have scratched my back and gave the phone number up, I would have gave the guy a booking. I'd say, hey, you work in the business like I do. Good looking out on that one. I mean, you helped me make something happen that I needed to happen. If you're free on this day, come on in. But if not, we have other bookings coming up. I'll bring you in on other bookings, you know? It's just so fucking asinine the way some motherfuckers are so fucking petty in this fucking business that we work in. I'm going to tell you something. Any of you people out there listening and you're thinking in your mind, man, I want to be a pro wrestler like Insane Lumberjack. I want to be a pro wrestler like Big Country. I want to be a wrestling manager like Joey Nuggs. I want to go out here and run shows and be like WWE. It ain't all cracked up what you think it is. I tell you, it ain't all glitz and glam at the top because there's a lot of assholes that are trying to stab you in the back 24/7. I never thought in a million years, and Cameron was right. He told me, he said, Nuggs, watch the vultures come out. People that you haven't heard from years were going to be your friends. You're going to hear a lot of shit, see a lot of shit that you never see. He goes, I told you, and he also, this is the exact words he told me. He goes, before this is over, you're going to be a man of God, and you're going to be like a reverend, because it's going to take a grace of God that you're not going to want to choke some of these people that you're going to have to deal with. And he's right. I am on my soapbox right now, and I'm preaching to the freaking stars right now. Because I'm telling you, I'm seeing some bullshit already, and that's another reason, you know, that we could talk about these things on the show is open up some kind of communications, you know, some kind of soundboard that we could talk about these subjects and call motherfuckers out on their bullshit. I ain't going to drop no names because they're still in the business, and if he needed it that bad, hey, who am I to say that he ain't? There's some fools out here. Like my pop used to say, a fool and his money will soon part. But I ain't that idiot. I ain't that fool, and it's not going to happen, big country. Motherfucker, I don't want to share the same locker room with all these wrestlers. I got to pay you because you got an updated telephone number, and I ain't talked to you since this guy did.
You know, this reminds me of, like, it's like a realtor being a middleman in between two people, the guy trying to buy the house, the guy trying to sell a house. You know, the realtor wants his big chunk to get bigger. So, you know, behind the person's back whose house he's selling, he's going to try and upcharge, you know, on the house, make it more than what the person's wanting to sell it for, so his chunk of it is a little bit bigger, you know? And it's like that in every walk of life, you know? Everybody's always, you know, they can sit there and say to your face, oh, yeah, man, you're my friend, blah, 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 blah. But behind their back, if they can make an almighty dollar off you, you know, that's most 99% of the time, most guys are going to do it.
Oh, yeah, I mean, there's a fool out here that would have done it. It just ain't me, you know? I mean, I've worked in, I could say, I mean, I'm not tooting my own horn. I'm in the biz for 12 years. I work with the biggest names. I got telephone numbers right now in my phone right now of names. I don't drop names all the time of who I know, but I'm thinking, I was trying to think about someone in the local area that's a name that I could draw, not have to trying to start out as a new company. I wouldn't have to pay trans on. Won't have to fly them in from another part of the country or around the world. I said, let me keep my budget low as much as I can, so I can put more into the product. I can make sure the indie wrestlers go home with it with a paycheck. You know, that they're able to stop and grab a sloppy burger on the way home. Because, you know, and I'm trying to save some money for advertising, so the wrestlers go out there for the first show, they're not freaking trying to take bumps in a ring at an empty building. I'm not trying to have that, you know. I'm trying to run a decent show. But, I mean, motherfuckers are stabbing you in the back already. Stupid, silly shit. I'm telling you. I need a camera person, big country, now to start walking around behind me and start videotaping my day-to-day activities running this and trying to...
I told you you need to start a vlog, man.
I really am. I need a camera guy to follow me around. I get one of those, what do they call that, ugly stick that they put the camera on thing? What do they call that?
You get you one of the GoPros, you know, put it on and it, you know, sits in front of your face and, like, catches everything you're doing.
How much do they run? I walk around like a douche with a camera. Maybe I get, like, one of those old welder's helmet with a camera attached to the front or something.
I don't know.
Destruction helmet or something.
I'm pretty sure you can find one pretty cheap on eBay.
Yeah, I might have to look into that so we can start. Because I tell these stories, and I'm going to tell you, a lot of people hit me up. I've had people actually literally hit me up on Facebook and tell me, I don't believe that story you told it to be true. I'm like, look, I'm not your life. I don't have the regular 9-to-5 stamping a card into a machine and getting to collect the paycheck kind of life. I have that life that's crazy, and I'm telling you, my life is a reality show waiting to happen. We need a cameraman to follow behind to catch some.
Dude, people don't understand, man. You know, it's just like when I was bouncing, I had some crazy stories to tell, and people didn't believe me. But they got to realize, you know, it's a different lifestyle. You know, there's stuff that happens behind closed doors, back locker rooms, and people, it will blow their mind if they knew stuff about it. You know, and they just, you know. I'm telling you, it's just something that you got to write down and save and add to your book whenever you do it.
I agree 100%. One day when I write that book, I told you I'm going to write a book, and it's going to burn a lot of bridges, but by the time I'm in my career, I don't care a damn about the bridges anymore.
Burn that sun before you're standing on it.
I will. I don't give a fuck. I'll burn across it, not worry about coming back across that bridge. Want to give a shout out to Timber, Zach Salvation, and all the rest of our loyal listeners that are listening here on Blog Talk, as well as they're downloading every week for free off of iTunes to their MP3 players and other media devices. We've got quite a following growing, man. I mean, I look on the statistics, I see our listenership are growing by the week. So we're even though people aren't calling in and they're not being a part of the show, they're listening. I can tell you that because people were telling me, hey, I caught that episode when Timber was on us. Well, that was the first episode. Oh, yeah. And the other guy, oh, I heard the episode that you had with John Schuyler, man. I didn't know that he was on NXT. People are listening, dude. That's a good thing, brother.
I'm telling you, if we can get them to start calling in, maybe one show we'll do a thing where they call in and ask us questions, you know, like a Q&A with Nugs in the Country.
Yeah, we could interview. One day I'll let you just interview me. How about that? Well, I'll interview you one day.
Hey, I'd be honored.
That sounds great, brother. Ladies and gentlemen, we got our guest calling in. Ladies and gentlemen, Tim Dixon is on the line. I'm hoping this is Tim Dixon. Is this Tim Dixon?
Yes. Yes, this is.
I don't have your number on lock, brother, but I was like, okay. We don't have a lot of callers here in the show, so I rolled the dice for that, and I did crap out this time. I appreciate you coming on the show. For once, I actually did crap out. I did good. Tim, I appreciate you taking your time. I know you're a busy man. I mean, you got a life that take care of a family that you jeopardized a little bit of time to come in and share your experiences with us. I appreciate it. I got my partner, Crime Big Country, on the line. I'm sure you might have met him once or twice. Now, if you see him, he's a big boss for the man. You might not forget. So he's on the line, too.
He is.
He's going to be.
He's one of the few people that I can hide behind.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree 100%. If someone starts shooting, brother, I'm jumping behind you, Big Country.
I don't know if you can jump behind me because I can duck pretty quick.
Okay, we'll be running. I'll be running behind you. So let's get started now with the interview. Tim, I've known you for some time now. I know some of your background, but of course, I'm not going to tell your story. We're going to tell your story on the interview. How did you get into pro wrestling?
I actually got started by promoting a show for a charity. My daughter has cystic fibrosis, so I felt like it'd be a good thing to help raise money would be to do a wrestling show. And do you remember LAW, live action wrestling?
Yes. Oh yeah. I'm the person that searches down the old video. I met Otto Swartz when I got a chance to manage Damian Wayne for Count Grog out of Gouge, and I was marking out. That was great video work back then. God, what
it was.
Damn, it was.
Yeah, and I used to watch that show. I think it was on WJZY here in the Charlotte area. And they would, of course, run a spot that said, if you're a nonprofit organization that would like to raise funds, give us a call, and we'll do a show. So I sent them a message and never got any response. And, you know, come to find out later, the reason I never got a response is because the company was in the process of going out of business. But that's neither here nor there. But I never got a response, so I thought I already knew through a friend of a friend, I knew Lodi. And through a friend of another friend, I knew the Barbarian. So I thought, you know what? Why don't I just put it together myself?
Right.
Which was probably not the best idea since I didn't know nothing from nothing. But I put together this show, and it was not nearly as advertised as it needed to be. It was called the Queen City Clash. That was the first show I ever did. And it was a big show. It had Barbarian, Greg the Hammer Valentine, Lodi was on there. I'm sorry?
I said, oh, I'm listening. I'm popping off the name. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the main event was Sandman and Just Incredible. I also had Billy Gunn on there, had D'Lo Brown. I had way too many names. That I know now. Then I didn't. I was like, oh, yeah, that's cool. Come on. And I lost a bundle myself, but the charity got money and all the boys got paid. So that's what I hang my hat on.
Yeah, that's a proud thing. You can say that. You did a good show, brother.
And yeah, that's,
and I remember,
I mean,
that.
I made sure.
Wasn't that at Independence Arena or something? You did it at a big building.
It was. Yes, way too big of a building. But yes, it was. But it was kind of, I mean, it's kind of fun, even though, as Bob Keller puts it,
Hello? And he dropped. Hopefully he'll be calling back in. We're having some technical difficulties. His call dropped, but I will be bothered and hopefully get back in. He left me as what Bob Keller said, but, I mean, things happen. We're in a live call-in show. Plenty of people actually ever think that we're doing this in a can. You're lying to yourself. This is live. Some technical difficulties do happen. And I remember the show distinctively. Man, he stacked that card up to the ceiling, Big Country. He really did.
Yeah.
That show was stacked to the hill. He had names upon names. I remember trying to get on that show, and it was like, there just isn't enough room, brother. There's had so many names on that card. And like he was saying, what he did now, I mean, one or two names draw just as much as 50 names do when it comes to an indie wrestling show. But it's okay,
yeah.
It happened. And we're all right, though. Technical difficulties are back, and we got you back on the line, Tim Dixon.
There we go. Now
that's what I was telling. At least anyone can't say that we're not a live show, because, I mean, things happen right there. So
exactly, things happen, yeah.
So we were at Bob Keller told you something.
Yeah, Bob Keller told me that I took a bath so bad on that I was still wet. And even though that is the case, it's still kind of fun to drive by Independence Arena and look at it. You know what? I did a show there. I mean, it's just something that I kind of hang my hat on, because when the wrecking ball finally swings on that building, that's going to be, you know, something that I was part of.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of a cool feeling.
And wrestling for the Mid-Atlantic area, just East Independence by itself that you ran over there, is part of history by itself. That's going to be one of the buildings one day when they're – what is it called? The Bojangles Arena now, I think
Bojangles
they're calling
now,
it.
Bojangles now, yes. Yes.
If they ever, God forbid, tear that down, I will be somebody over there trying to get a brick from that building. To me, that building I look at that building historic, like the Sportatorium was for Texas. I really do.
Well, Starcade 93 was there.
Wow. See, that is something I did. Yeah. I was still living up north, so a lot of stuff down south wrestling. My cap was watching it. 6:05 Eastern on WTBS. That was my plug.
Yeah, Jim Crockett Promotions ran there a lot. And then Starcade 93, which was that was Flair for the Gold, I think it was called. And it was supposed to be like – it was being put up as like one of Ric Flair's last runs at the Gold, which I think is hilarious now. That was 93.
I'd like to get Ric Flair in for one last run for the Gold.
Yeah.
I bet you one last run would still draw the pack out.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. And so you did that. You did your first show. What come next for you in pro wrestling?
I did. The next thing I did, because while I was putting together the Queen City Clash, I wanted to use local guys, but I didn't really know any. And I wanted to find local shows around, and I found it actually pretty hard, unless you just kind of, you know, drive by and see a poster. I found it kind of hard to find local shows. So I came up with this idea to have a website that was like a central location to where you could go and find information on independent shows in North and South Carolina. So I started a website called CarolinaIndependentWrestling.com.
Oh, yeah.
And that, I ran that for probably probably a good 5 years. And it got to where it was, I mean, I really enjoyed doing it, but it got to where it was almost like another 40-hour a week job. And I got to where I couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah, I can truly say that your creation on that website became a monster at one time. I mean, it was the go-to website for anything. If you wanted to see what was going on in wrestling and pro in the Carolinas, that was the spot to hit. Everyone knew. I mean, that you can't. No one could ever deny it.
Yeah, and that was actually our the little catchphrase. If it's wrestling in the Carolinas, it's on CarolinaIndependentWrestling.com.
And you kept
that was what, that's what I hung my hat on.
Yes, you did, and you kept it true to what you're hanging your hat on, my friend. Okay,
yep.
So that becomes like a 40-hour job, and just kept too much. So it went to the side. The name still goes on because it's still the name still continues. No one in the your legacy continues on with that name. People know that name. I mean, podcast.
And that's cool.
That
makes me feel good, though. That's because that when I was gonna shut it down. Some people came and wanted to buy it from me. And I actually debated long and hard on it because, I mean, hey, who's going to say no to money? But then at the same time, that was my baby. And one of the reasons that I started it is because there was another site out there, and I'm not going to name the site because I'm not going to – I don't want to crap on nobody. But there was a site that was supposed to be a new site like that, but they only focused on one promotion.
Right.
And that is what bugged me. And I was like, okay, if it's going to be a site that is supposed to focus on all the indies, it needs to focus on all the indies and not just one.
Right. Right.
And so, and that was the thing when people were offering to buy it from me, they were very closely associated with one promotion, and I felt like it might end up being like the other site, and I was like, I don't want something that I put so much work and life into to become something I don't want it to be. And so I just kind of went, you know what, I'm good.
Yeah, I think, and honestly, I think that was the right decision to be, because you would have tarnished the memory that what you built. You built, I mean, say what you want. You built a little legacy there for yourself under that name. You really did. And I know the fans picked it up. Wayne Rush and other people tried to pick it up just to continue on to do your year-end awards. I mean, they were paying homage to it. So.
Oh, dude, those year-end awards. I don't know what the hell I was thinking.
That was a way of pissing everybody off in the business. I'll tell you that much. God, pain in the ass.
Oh, good God!
At the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, because it was realistically, it was something I thought, you know what, that'd be kind of cool, and it would drive more people to the site.
Right.
That was all it was. It was, you know, I thought, you know, this would be a good idea. We'll let people vote, so it will be democratic. And by having people vote, it'll push people to the website.
Right.
And I thought it'd be kind of a cool thing. Little did I know that people would take it as gospel and get horribly upset when they didn't win anything, and then have certain people sitting at their house voting for themselves over and over and over and over and over.
Oh yeah. I ain't gonna be mad. I was pissed that I didn't get manager of the year. And when Miss Hardy got it, I'm like, come on, I'm a lot better than Miss Hardy. I should have got it, god damn it.
Hey,
but then I said to myself, I'm a bad guy in wrestling. Maybe me not getting votes means I'm doing my job. They're not voting
there
for me
go,
because
yeah.
they hate me. So I thought about it and I changed my mind state. Yeah, you and I'm a worker. You pissed me off, so you did a good job, brother.
Mission accomplished.
Oh yeah, Joey. I mean, you know, the thing that really made me mad was when Wayne Rush started doing it. You know, they had the best big guy of the year award, and you know, I didn't even know I had won it until Wayne Rush, you know, personally messaged me. And then guess what? The next month, I see him at the OSCW show, And he doesn't have my award, but yet he's got everybody else's award. So I'm still sitting here as, I think it was the 2013, you know, Big Guy of the Year, and I still don't have an award to show for it.
Oh, jeez. And the thing was with the...
You didn't get your paper in a frame?
No, I didn't. I mean, heck, the ones that they did last year.
I'll print you off one, and I'll make an award for you, print you off one at Kinko's, okay?
I tell you what, I'm the one that designed them, so I'm sure I've still got it on my computer. I'll get it.
See, yeah, Jim, we can make that happen, brother.
I mean, it was funny. It was like he handed Skyler his award right in front of me, and I looked over at him. He's like, "Hey, good country," and just walks away. And I was like, "Dude, really?"
Well,
I will break your camera.
Skyler has better looking abs.
The problem with that was Wayne got a hold of me and said, "You know, I understand you're closing down the site, but we think the award should go on." And quite frankly, at that point, I was like, "You know what? If I don't have to do the work and I don't have to deal with the aggravation, go for it." But then I still got crap about those awards, and I didn't have a damn thing to do with them.
Right.
And then he, after it was over, he said, when they were done, he was like, can you design the awards for us? So I had to,
so you still got to
design the awards again.
Yeah.
That's
the best.
I know you have nothing to do with it, but can you design these for us?
Exactly. I was like, I told you, you do the work.
We know you didn't want nothing to do with it, but can you help us out and design these awards? Gosh.
And unfortunately, I mean, as much as when we were doing them on the website, as much as people bitched about them and kind of would crap on them, the guys that didn't win would crap on them, it was still, I think it had a little bit of a legitimacy. Because
it did, because
for the
if
most
it did,
part,
no one would have got upset. If it did, no one would have ever got upset that they didn't win. So they were workers and everyone was they were taking it serious, my friend. They really were.
Yeah, but everybody's going to praise it until they don't win. Then it's, oh, it's rigged. It's, you know, it's trap.
Yeah,
it's nothing.
I said it was rigged because I didn't win.
I think if I'm not badly mistaken, I think you said it was rigged and you said it was run by a bunch of marks, if I remember correctly.
See, that sounds like me because that's me. I said, I didn't win, I'm getting some heat off this damn thing. I didn't win, but I'm getting some heat off it, damn it.
I mean, again, mission accomplished.
I just got done reading the book, Chaos Creates Controversy, Creates Cash. So I was like, I'm getting in this thing.
There you go.
So you
went
with the awards?
Yeah, when we were doing it on the site, I feel like it had a legitimacy to it. Because if you did know me, I think people believed that I would keep them even. It wasn't a fix, and it was legitimate voting. I mean, I sat and each day counted the votes that came in, and that's how I know people were voting for themselves over and over again, because it's when they came in, it was marked with their IP address. So
they were telling themselves.
I might not be able to tell you like who specifically is hitting the button, but if it's voting for wrestler X over and over and over and over and over again, I'm pretty sure that's him. So, and that was the thing. I would go through them each day, and I would throw those duplicates out to keep it even. So I went to great pains to make sure it was legitimate. When Wayne took it over, Wayne is a very passionate fan. But
right.
He also likes to stir the pot a lot. And
I'm sure, Wayne,
you'll listen to this and you'll hear this, and we'll talk on Sunday at the roast of Brett Wolverton about this, I'm sure. He enjoys stirring the pot a lot. And so I think when he was in charge of them, I think it put a lot of tarnish on him. and it, you know, it kind of made him into a bit of a joke.
Yeah, he drug that name through the mud. He really did.
Yeah,
we could talk. And hey, Wayne Rush, man, I've had controversy in the past with him, but I've any beefs that I've had with him, hey, he's just a fan. And as long as you pay your $10 to sit in the front row,
yeah,
and shake your fist at me, where I did my job, so I'm fine with that.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
So let's get beyond the awards. I mean, that's, we could talk about that forever.
Yeah, yeah.
What was next?
I ran my own promotion for a while called Gladiator Pro Wrestling. We ran some shows here in Gastonia. And again, it was one of those things where you're working a 40-hour a week job, you have a family, and I also have, you know, a business of my own that I work like kind of side projects on. And it got to where, I mean, promoting, you guys both know, promoting is a hard job. And you have to be working constantly at it. And it's like, I can't do this. So I had started, actually the first time I ever did commentary was for the Queen City Clash DVD, which I would not suggest listening to because it makes me cringe now listening to it. But I started at SWA in Forest City. I started producing their DVDs and doing commentary. I think that was in 2008. Mm-hmm. And I did that for a while, and probably did about 8 DVDs for them. And then I decided it got to where I wasn't selling enough, because that was the deal. I would come up and produce the shows and sell the DVDs to make my money back for them. And I wasn't really getting enough money to make it worth my while. So I decided to leave there. And right after I decided to leave there, JD Costello was starting up NWA Charlotte.
Yes.
So I went and met with JD and started working for them, in the short 6-month run that we had there. And that's probably where we worked together the longest, was in NWA Charlotte.
Yes.
Because you were there probably – you were there the majority of the run, weren't you?
No, I got brought in at the tail end. I was nothing from nothing. Jay, what's his business partner's name? Jay Bright?
Jay.
What was it? Jay.
Jay Joy.
I got the type of personality that I, without trying, I could piss people off. And they had talked to me. Yeah, they had talked to me. Imagine that. They had talked to me at the Legends convention about their new company, and they had started running shows before and offered me spots and nothing really came through of it. And he was like, "Hey, we're going to run shows in Charlotte." I said, "I know we know you're not too far. You're in the Carolinas." I said, "Yeah, you got my information. Give me a call. I'd love to come." And I guess I didn't make a did tap dance enough for him, so I pissed him off, and that was the reason he didn't want to book me. So then with Timber got in there, you know, he dropped my name. He said, "No, you should be in there." I said, "I think I pissed somebody off. Find out what happened." And Timber started digging in and found out that I pissed off his business partner there. So after I got him on the phone and smoothed it out, he's like, "Well, if JD wants to book you, I appreciate you making the air ways." And we smoothed it out. "I have no problem with booking you." I was there the next week then. Behind the scenes.
I mean,
Joey,
that was an interesting time in my career, because it was some of the best work I've ever done. I was producing video as well for them, and doing play-by-play with Lodi. And it was, like I said, it was some of the work. Like, when somebody wants to see something I've done in the wrestling business, I show them that. I'm the most proud of NWA Charlotte. both as far as my work as a video producer and play-by-play. I feel like that's my best work. But the way it ended, the entire company ended, and my relationship with JD and Jay ended. That's kind of it's kind of a bittersweet thing.
Yeah, I didn't know that ending. I didn't know that ending of it.
Well, JD and Jay, when I went there, we made a deal for how much they were gonna pay me. And we talked about it, and I gave them a number, and they said, okay, we want you to get that. But when we start up, we're not going to be able to pay that much. So I agreed to a lowered amount for, I think it was supposed to be for the first 3 months. And, you know, again, I'd promoted shows. I knew the deal. I knew it was very expensive. And the way that if this was going to take off the way we all thought it was going to, I felt like it was an investment to take a lower amount to get everything off the ground to get it to what it needed to be. So I agreed to the lower amount for a certain amount of time. And then when things started going, they were spending a lot of money.
Yeah, stupidly, they were spending money.
they had at least a couple of names on every show, and we were running shows every 2 weeks, and they were only charging $5 at the door.
Right.
And we tried to, I mean, Lodi and I, when we would all meet for lunch, because the way as far as booking stuff, JD, Jay and Lodi took care of all of that. I was at the booking meeting simply because I wanted to know what was going on so that I could prepare my crew to shoot the stuff we needed to shoot and split it up and make it into the shows, because I would produce out of every show every 2 weeks, I would make 2 hours of TV out of it.
Right.
Although it never actually went on TV, but that's the way I looked at it, is I was producing a TV show.
You were. You really were. It was that quality. It really was.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I mean, again, like I said, that's something that I hang my hat on is the quality of work that we did there as far as a video product. And we would meet probably once a week. We would meet for lunch. And we'd go over everything, and Lodi and I both talked to him and said, you know, you need to try and see if you can get some sponsors in there. Cause I mean, if you're really set on just charging $5, which I mean, if you want to keep it affordable for people, that's great. But you have to look at how much you're spending out, and charging $5 at the door is not going to do it. And so you need to get some sponsors in, and they just never, I don't know if they didn't want other hands in the process, or they just didn't want to go after sponsors or what. I don't know. I mean, the way I looked at it wasn't my
business decision. Yeah, it was a stupid business decision. They were coming out of pocket and I remember watching the cards already booked, every seat that you're going to sell off the advertisements already been sold, and Raven come down from the ceiling. I'm like, well, where did this come from?
He wasn't even advertised.
Yeah, I'm like, well, you didn't get no payoff off of this. I mean, you could have did the same kind of build off of a video vignette that you could have threw up on a screen. It saved a lot of money.
Absolutely.
I mean, stupid. That was a lot of stupid things. I mean, they were throwing their money around like it was. Had no bottom, I guess, but we found out quick it did.
And exactly. And then later to find out there was other things that were just bad decisions with the building we were running in wasn't even code or zoned for a place of gathering where you're having shows and stuff like that. It wasn't zoned for that. It was zoned as a warehouse.
Right.
So we weren't even. That's why they shut us down that night. Were you there the night that they shut us down?
No, I wasn't, but I heard about it. The fire marshals came in. Everyone claimed that outside sources called in. It was that reason they got shut down and this. And I don't know if that was it, but I heard they came down and was trying to shut the show down while it was going on.
Oh, absolutely. They were there the entire time. They showed up, and I was at ringside, and I was there with Lodi. He and I had no idea that the firemen or the police were even there up until the point JD came out and said, actually, no, he didn't come out first. They adjusted the card because that was the night that it was supposed to be Lodi versus Raven, the final blow off in their feud. And we had built this up to where, you know, he had been his lackey for 10 years and he was finally standing up to him and he was finally going to get his comeuppance and stand up to Raven. So Lodi was going to do commentary with me up until intermission. Then at intermission, he was going to go to the back. I was going to do the rest of the night solo commentary so he could get ready and they would have their match. So we're sitting there, and we've had probably three matches or so, and the cruiserweight match starts to come out, which was the semi-main. So they're starting to come out. I'm confused. I look down at my notebook that has the card on it, and I'm looking going, okay, well, this is not supposed to be coming out now. I look over at him, and had just jumped up from the table and was walking to the back because a referee, I don't remember which one, but a referee had been sent out to tell him that they were going on next. And actually, when I got home and listened to, because I was, of course, rolling on the mics, on our mics there at the table, I get home and I listen to it, and I can hear, you can hear him, the referee, tell him, and then he goes, wait, no, we can't go. I haven't stretched. We haven't even talked about it. We can't do that. And the referee goes, I'm just telling you what they told you. The cops are here, and they're trying to shut down the show. So Lodi's headed for back. I still didn't know what was going on. Then JD gets in the ring and tells everybody that the cops are there, and he goes off on this. He cuts a promo on the fire department.
Right.
Which I never understood.
Be out here to try to shut me down. I remember it.
I never understood that. Because there's cops. At that point, I'm looking, and I can see cops standing in the entranceway. They're there. And so we end up, you know, cutting the show short. That was the night that we premiered Phil Shatter, Michael Judas, and Ryan O'Reilly as the big faction, our big heel faction called Three.
Yep. Yeah.
And that place was packed. I'm not good at estimating crowds, but I'd say we probably had at least 500, 600 people jammed into that warehouse.
Oh, yeah. You guys, I mean, good nights, I remember. They were 600-plus nights. I remember that.
Yeah, and they were jammed in there, and they were hot as hell. They were yelling, screaming, and we had an extremely smart crowd there. They reminded me of an ECW crowd because they knew the guys when they came out. On our first show, we had Adam Pearce versus Brent Albright. Two guys that, you know, haven't gotten TV exposure unless you watch ROH at the time didn't have TV. They just had DVDs. So you had to work to know who those guys were. And they did. They knew who they were. When they came out, they were chanting Repo Man at Pierce because he looks like Barry Darso when he was doing the repo
right.
in the beginning. And I mean, they knew they were chanting stuff at them. They were very vocal about what they liked and what they didn't like. We had two guys who were friends of JD and Jay. And friends of mine too. It's not like it was just they were just there because they were friends with JD and Jay. Ryan Chaos and Joey Agony. Great guys. Absolutely great guys. But not as far as their level of work weren't really up with the rest of the roster. And the
right.
crowd knew that. And they told us that
right.
constantly. And they tried really hard to get them over and get them sympathy. And one of the things to try and get them sympathy was having three, Shatter and Judas, threw them off the top of that set.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, they landed, boom, just and people ate it up.
Mm-hmm.
But not in sympathy for Chaotic Agony. They loved it because they threw them off of there.
Right, like, oh, my God, you threw the jabronis off the top of the set. Crack, took out the garbage.
Two weeks later, we're there for our next show, and Eddie Rich comes out, and he's doing the announcements, and we're sitting there at the announce table, and Eddie says, you know, because of the actions of Shatter and O'Reilly or whoever threw them off of there, because of their actions, we've closed off that section of the set, and Joey Agony and Ryan Chaos have been hospitalized. And you hear a guy off to my right, clear as day, you can hear him bust out laughing. So loud in that place that Eddie has to stop and go, "Sir, this is not a laughing matter." Then off to my left, I hear somebody go, "Yeah, it is." They just didn't care about him. I mean, they knew what they liked and they knew what they didn't like. But as the thing went along, it was a lot of fun. But you could see the cracks in the foundation as you went along, and they eventually came to everybody, all the workers, including me, and asked for us to cut what they were paying them. So again, I agreed to another pay cut, and they were still behind. They were behind paying me anyway. But again, I said, okay, let's just, you know, let's get this worked out. And I was also paying the cameramen that were in there and the guy, there was another guy there helping me. I was paying them
right.
out of what I was getting paid.
Right.
So
it was nothing. So you still had to cover, your, yeah, you were still trying to have to cover your end, but you weren't getting paid at your end, the other end.
Exactly. And so they finally had to just shut it down. And I didn't say anything. They owed me money. They knew they owed me money. But they owed a lot of people. So
right.
I just took it. Okay, I'll get it when they can give it to me. I trusted them to do that. And I actually saw them at a show a couple of weeks after. And they told me that, you know, we're working on getting everybody their money. We know we owe you money. Okay. All right, cool. And the thing that bugged me was after a while, they started posting things online basically saying that, oh, when everything was going great, all the workers were there and everybody was calling every day going, hey, how you guys doing? How's everything? How's it going? Now that they're shut down, nobody cares about them. And I finally, at that point, I'd had enough, and I commented on it was a post on Facebook, and I commented on it and said, perhaps they're not calling you because you owe them money.
Right.
And you've told them you're going to pay, and you never have. And now you're not calling them because you owe them money. Maybe that's why.
Right.
At that point, JD posted a thing on his page, his Facebook page, that anybody who felt like they were owed money, post it here. So I posted down to the number everything they owed me.
Wow.
And I forget what he fired back with something else, some response. And then I came back again with the commercials that ran on TV. I never charged them for producing
right.
those commercials. So
wow.
I came back with that. And right after I came back with that, he deleted the post and blocked me. And
right.
I haven't talked to him since. So that's where it bugs me the way it ended. It's the thing that I'm most proud of in my wrestling career is my stint in NWA Charlotte. But it's also
right.
it bugs me so bad because it ended that way. And I was as die in the wool NWA Charlotte as anybody.
Yeah.
JD and Jay obviously were the first two people on board. Do you know who the third one was? Me.
You.
Absolutely. So I was just as much in that, not financially, but I was just as much in that heart and soul as they were. And I wanted it to be successful, and it was, and it was a great product. And I wanted it to keep on going. And the fact that it didn't still to this day bugs me. So
I definitely think it should have ran longer than it did. It was, man, it was hotter than the $2 pistol when it came out. It really was. That was the buzz.
Yep.
It really was. And I know I got a couple minutes left here on the show. I know you got a lot of things to do. If you got time, I want to do a quick thing we do here on the show sometimes. It's called the name game. I say some people in the business name. You give me your honest opinion. It does not have to be one word answers. You can talk as much as you feel comfortable. First, let me think. We already know your opinion on J.D. Costello, so we don't need to do that one.
we've gotten that one out of the way.
let's say the insane lumberjack Timber.
Oh, God, I absolutely love working with Timber. As far as I'm concerned, the fact that Timber never showed up on Monday Night Raw or SmackDown is a damn travesty. He is one of the best workers with one of the best minds I think I've ever seen. And I absolutely loved working with him anytime I could. And his one of the things at NWA Charlotte, he had that match with Abdullah the Butcher.
Mm-hmm.
And Abby, they had laid it out, and they were supposed to make a comeback, and then Abby was going to get disqualified.
Mm-hmm.
I guess Abby got tired. I don't know. He just as Timber started to make his comeback, Abby just grabbed the ref, headbutted him, and took off for the back. Didn't even wait for the ref to call for the DQ. He just headed for the back. So he just went out there, beat on Timber, bloodied him for about, you know, 6-7 minutes, and then took off. He never got a comeback. He never did anything. And we had shot that night, and then probably about 2 weeks later, right before the next show, I posted that match. We get to the arena, or Timber gets there, and he comes over, and he goes, "You know, I just calmed down about that shit," and then you go and post that and piss me off all over again. Yeah, I absolutely love working with Timber. He's an awesome talent. And like I said, the fact that he never had more success than he did is one of the big travesties as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, definitely. Timber has he's one of my mentors, one of my best friends. I mean, he was a guy 12 years ago when I showed up green as the fucking grass out front that said, "Hey, you got a choice, kid. I could either pat you on the head and say you did a great job, or you could check your ego, pay attention, and learn something about this business we're in." And I was like, well, sir, awesome. I don't know shit, so go ahead. I'll take number two choice, please.
Yeah.
Trey, I remember many a days him and we'd be at hotel rooms after the show. Now, where was your spot? What was the psychology? What were you thinking? What were you doing? He's one of those guys, though. But, yeah, he made it sense. Over time, all the pieces of the puzzle came together with Timber. That's someone I'm proud to say that I work with. And we're still working together. We're getting ready to do our own show. We're going to start running our own company together and run shows out in Lake Norman area. So.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, he's going to be a booker for me. Hey, if you're free, our first show is June the 18th. I'd love for you to come out and watch the show if you're free.
Oh, I would love that. Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. I tell everybody I'm happily retired from professional wrestling, but I'm still a fan, and I want to go see shows and see the boys. I mean, that's the only thing I miss. I don't miss the aggravation. I don't miss the driving forever to get to a show and getting shitty pay. I miss the boys. And I miss the fun of independent wrestling because I fell in love with indie wrestling years before I got into it because I went to a show and I was yelling something at the guy who was cutting a promo and he had to stop and turn and address me. And it was like, you're so close to the action that you're right in it. And that's what I love about indie wrestling. That's what I loved about being in the seat. That's what I loved about being in the ring, whether it's commentary on the side or actually being a ring announcer. I love that, being able to be right there with the fans. I just love that.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Hey, if you show up, if you want to bring a camera or two along and show me how to do some video work, I'd be your best bud forever. Let's continue on. Enough about me. Lodi.
Lodi is one of the best guys I've met in the business. He was, like I said, he was on the first show I ever did, the Queen City Clash, and he kind of took me under his wing a lot more than he had to. It could have just been a booking for him, just some money mark got a hold of him and wants him on the show, but he took it upon himself to meet with me several times and say, okay, you know, what do you got going here? And he kind of warned me, like, hey, there's not enough promotion on this show. He said, you can have Ric Flair versus Hulk Hogan, but if nobody knows about it, you ain't got nothing. So he really gave me more advice than he really had to. And after the show was over, I needed to I went by his gym like the Monday or Tuesday after the show. And I went by there and we went into his office and we sat down and he goes, well, what'd you learn? So rather than let me just wallow in the fact that I had taken a bath on this show, he wanted me to look at it and say, okay, what should you have done differently? What should you have, who should you have booked? Who should have dropped off of that bloated card? And how should you have handled it? So he actually was able to teach me a huge, huge amount. And then doing commentary at NWA Charlotte with him was absolutely awesome the entire time. We had so much fun there. It was just great. And I love anytime I can see him, I'll go to a show and meet up with him and catch up because I love that guy. He's one, like I said, one of the first guys I met in the business and one of the best guys I met in the business.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Lodi is awesome. I got my own Lodi stories, but I'm not making my interview with your interview. So I can tell you the first, I'll tell you a quick one if we got a quick moment. It was the second show that I worked. I got a chance to, I was managing Gluteus Maximus. As the Roman Gladiator. Anyhow, before the match, we were in Rockingham down the Drake Strip, and it rained, and they were trying to get all the rain out of the ring before we could do the wrestling match. And
oh, God.
I was walking, And I seen Lodi, and Lodi looks at me and said, "Hey, Rick, man." I was like, "Yeah." He goes, "Man, they got some. Looks like they got some beers down there." He goes, "We think we take a walk down there and see if they're cold." I was like, "Hey, that's a good idea." So I walked down over the side. We get a couple of big beers, you know, because we got time, you know. I reach in my pocket, go to pay, and Lodi says, "No, man, brother, your money's no good here." And Lodi bought me a beer. And I'm going to tell you something.
Nice.
I grew up watching Ravens Flock, Lodi, and all that, and I knew myself I might not ever do a show again, but I could tell you, Lodi bought me a beer. That's a cool motherfucker right there.
Yep.
So that's my Lodi story. What is your opinion on he's now Connor, but he used to be Roughhouse Ryan O'Reilly. They're releasing him from WWE with the wellness policy crap.
I knew he was suspended. Did they release him?
No,
I don't know
if
he's suspended or I might be speaking overboard. I know he got suspended. No, I don't know about the release. So he probably didn't get released. I don't.
No, it was him
and
one other guy.
What's your opinion on him as a wrestler? And what's your opinion on him as a wrestler himself and that?
Him as a wrestler and a just a human being. I love him. I loved working with him. He has such a presence in that ring. Especially an indie ring. But if they would package him right, he could do the exact same thing in the WWE. I think the way they were, the Ascension was booked in NXT was great. Pulling them up and making them almost like a demolition light was just weird to me. I never did understand that. But yeah, Ryan was a great guy. He was one of the guys at NWA Charlotte that took a leadership role in the locker room, and he took it. He was like, "Okay, we've got a really good thing here. We've got a really good locker room. We need to keep it that way." And he took a lot of the younger guys and said, because at that point, he had been right there on the edge of being in WWE. Him and Chrissy both had been right there and then walked away from it. So he was trying to make his way back to it. And he had been in countless locker rooms, and he had been to where, right, like I said, right to the edge of where everybody wants to go. And he was able to take a leadership role in that locker room, and cutting promos with him was always fun, because even when I'm standing there holding a microphone and doing a promo with a guy and I'm getting chills, you know, it's something special. It was always fun to work with him, and he had he and I and Lodi one afternoon worked on his entrance. He knew he wanted to get something special and something impactful, and he was always conscious of where the cameras were. He knew where he wanted to know where the hard camera was, and he wanted to play to it when he came out and he did his entrance. And he had an incredible mind for what he was doing and the impact that everything he did had. So yeah, I hope the wellness thing, I don't know, quite frankly, I'm never quite sure when somebody has a wellness violation. Is it real? Is it a work? Is it just something that they do every once in a while to say, "Hey, look, we've got a wellness policy. See, people getting suspended." Maybe
right.
They're doing that just to make it look like, yeah, we really are doing this. We are, you know, watching everything. And quite frankly, what could be on it?
Yeah,
what could
I'm,
be on
I'm
the
looking...
list of things?
I'm looking at it, what was it, steroids? I mean, but I look at everyone walking down the ramp, even down to Triple
exactly.
H at WrestleMania, and they were all jacked to the hilt. I mean,
what else?
Yeah, if you're you're telling me nobody there is not cycling steroids.
Right.
Come on.
Right.
So
that's my thing.
Is like, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be my thing. Is like, okay, what that was the violation? I mean, if it's weed, if it's, you know, maybe too many painkillers, if it's something that might be dangerous, then maybe it's a way to get somebody help. Like, you look at somebody like Eddie Guerrero. Mm-hmm. If somebody could have maybe stopped him before, I mean, I know he was clean when he passed away, but the damage he did, it was already done. It you know, if somebody is doing stuff that is going to cause trouble later down the line, maybe, yeah, okay. But I'm with it being a worked business, when something like that comes out, is that something they're doing as a punishment and they're saying it's a wellness thing, or is it just a thing to say, to try to make people look and go, oh, hey, they have a wellness policy. They're doing what they're supposed to do. So I'm always a little skeptical when somebody gets popped for wellness violation.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
Unless it was done by an independent that tested them. But look, like you pointed out, you know, Triple H at WrestleMania was obviously jacked, and
right.
I mean, you can't tell me he's not juicing.
Right. Right.
I mean, that was one of the favorite quotes I ever saw from Scott Steiner. He was talking about when he was with WWE, and somebody called from the office and said, we want you to go down for a steroid test. And he said, not a problem. Send Triple H in a limo to pick me up, and we'll both go together. And he said, I never heard anything else about it.
Right, of course. And I'm going to tell you something, just for the record, Connor Ruffalo Riley was always a gentleman. He was always
a
professional. Anytime I worked with him, to this very day, from time to time, when on Facebook or social media, he'll tell me, "Hey, tell all the fellas in the locker room that I said, hey, man." He never let it go to his head. So I got good intentions for the guy. One more name, and I'll let you go. I know you're busy. We had a passing this past week. Balls Mahoney, your opinion on Balls? Anything?
That was one guy I never worked with, but I watched ECW. Like, I mean, we all did. He was a very different performer. I mean, he was not what you would call the cookie cutter kind of guy. He was, I mean, he didn't look like your standard guy, but the guy was entertaining. He was, and he would do whatever, a lot like Mick Foley. He would do whatever he needed to entertain a crowd. And if you watch some of that, the Smoky Mountain stuff, when he was Boo Radley there.
Mm-hmm.
When you have somebody to write stuff for him, to put a storyline together that he can get into, he was one of the most over guys there. Because it's a simple story. You put him with Chris Candido, and Balls was, like I said, was playing Boo Radley. He played kind of a simple character, and he was with Chris Candido, and he loved Chris Candido to death, and Candido treated him like shit. So of course, people are going to start to root him on, and oh, you got to turn on him. You got to get out from under that. You don't need to let him treat you like that. But that was his friend, and he was standing by his friend, even though his friend treated him bad. He was standing by his friend, and he played that sympathetic guy who you want to see do good, and he played it so well and so to the hilt. And when he finally turned around and popped Chris Candido. The place went crazy. And it's stuff like that that if you watch stuff like that be executed properly, and then you look at some of the stuff like the Ascension, the incomprehensible way that they've been booked since they have been brought up to the main roster, it confuses me. The business is not that hard. If I go down on a city street in Charlotte and I get a big guy and a little guy and I pay them out and tell, hey, listen, I want you guys to go at it like you are fighting for your life. And I want you to make people believe it. They start doing that on a city street in Charlotte, North Carolina. Pretty soon people are going to stop and watch. And a little bit after that, they're going to start to root for the little guy.
Mm-hmm.
This business ain't that hard. Quit making it too complicated. Just give it a good emotional story. That's the reason when Mid-Atlantic was so hot around here. You had a group of guys who were the best in the business, and they took every opportunity to rub it in your face so you wanted to hate them. And you had a guy who looked like one of us, big fat dude, son of a plumber, and he wanted to stand up for the guys out there who never got a chance, and he wanted to stand up to these jocks. And that's exactly what it was. It was almost like a high school. The horsemen were almost like high school jocks. They were good. They knew it, and they wanted to rub it in your face. And this guy, Dusty Rhodes, chunky dude who, looked like most of the crowd that was watching, he stood up and said, yeah, that's not going to happen. And he fought back. You want to love that guy. Doesn't matter that he doesn't look like a jacked-up monster. Doesn't matter that he's not sculpted like a bodybuilder. Because he had emotional content into his character. And you wanted to believe. That's the whole thing of this, the suspension of disbelief. People still want to believe today, but you have to give them the chance. From the time, especially when they're coming to an indie show, from the time they lay down their money to the time they leave, they know it's a show. They know these guys have sat in the back and decided what they're going to do and where they're going to go. But from the time they lay down their money to the time they leave, they want to forget that stuff. You just have to give them the opportunity.
I agree 100%. Brother, I appreciate you spending some time with me. I know Big Country hasn't had a lot of chance to talk tonight. But we're a short comparison to what we usually get. We try to run the full 2 hours, but I know you're a busy man. You've got other commitments and other things you got to do. I appreciate you taking your time. Also, reserve the rights to bring you back maybe at another time in the future, if that's all right.
We can do that. We can do that.
Tim, I appreciate you. Any shout-outs or anything you want to leave anybody with or contact information if anyone wants to use you for anything? I mean, feel free to.
Actually, the biggest thing is coming up, and I mentioned it earlier, coming up Sunday in – I forget the actual place it's going to be, but it's in Columbia. We are doing the roast of Brett Wolverton. And this is one thing – it's a thing called Wrestle Roast. And Bob Keller and Brett, I think last year, they put on a roast of Bob Keller, who is another guy who I met at my first show. And I wanted to get in on that one, and I couldn't, the date it was on, I couldn't do. So when I heard they were doing another one, and it was Brett, who I've known forever and worked with all over the place, I got to get in on this. So I got a hold of them, and I'm doing the roast on Sunday, and I'm actually looking on Facebook now to see if I can find the information of where it's at. I know it's a bar in Columbia that we're doing it at. But it's Brett is there, so it's going to be the Goonies are going to be there. If you know Brett Wolverton at all, You know, he's, some of his best friends in the business are the Goonies, who is B.J. Hancock, Derek Rise, Mike McLeod, Rocky Starr, and BoJack Austin. So they're all going to be on the dais. Zane Riley is going to be on the dais. John the Body Johnson from NWA Anarchy down in Georgia is going to be there. Boomer Payne is going to be there. Brett's brother, Todd Wolverton, is going to be there. And John Malice is also going to be. And the roast master will be Bob Keller. So
wow.
It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be it's not going to be for the faint of heart. I'll tell you that.
It says here on Brett's web. It says on Brett's page. It's going to be this Sunday at Bell's Bar and Grill. $5 gets you in the door. Tickets are available at Bell's. That's what it. And that's post from Bob Keller directly to Brett Wolverton, and they got Brett Wolverton in a crazy picture with his picture jacked up to his armpits like he's 85 years old. So, there.
Oh, I remember that picture. Yeah.
That's going to be phenomenal. I know you guys are going to have a blast.
The thing is, I've always, the whole time I was in the business, I always tried, and especially when I was running Carolina Independent Wrestling, I always wanted to come off as a professional and as I never, like when I did interviews, I never cursed a lot. I kept everything on the above board. I never did anything that I felt like would be construed as shooting on anybody, because I wanted to keep it on a professional business level.
Right.
But as I said, I'm happily retired now, so I don't give a shit.
Right.
So I've saved up.
Well, I appreciate your time. I could truly say, sir, you've had a great run so far, and I'm sure it's not over yet for you in the world of wrestling. And I want to personally thank you for coming on. I also want to say, if I've ever in a million years been an asshole towards you or ever say anything that remotely pissed you off, I apologize wholeheartedly, and I hope you appreciate you can try to accept my apology, because I'm an asshole at times. So.
Oh, you're absolutely fine. You're doing your job, man.
Okay. So, Big Country, say goodbye. Say something. Nico, brother.
Hey, man, you know, I love listening to the stories. And, you know, I've met Tim a few times, but I never really got to socialize with him and, you know, learn anything from him and everything. So, you know, it's just an honor to sit here and listen to the stories. You know, I really, you know, everybody knows Tim. I mean, all the circles that I've ran in and everything, everybody knows Tim, and everybody likes Tim, everybody respects Tim. So, you know, it's just an honor to have you on here and, you know, listen to your stories and listen to, you know, everything that comes out of that head of yours. And hopefully one day, you know, we'll actually get to sit down outside of, you know, a podcast and, you know, actually sit down and talk.
We'll sit down and have a beer.
Well, I don't drink, but you can have a beer and I'll have a, you know, I'll have a water.
There you go. As Lodi says, we'll see if those beers are cold.
See if they're cold, and Lodi might buy.
That's right, yeah.
By Lodi. No, Lodi these days, he probably not even drinking beer. I know he's found the Lord and amen to him. And I want to bring him on the show and get his testimony. I mean, he's doing some phenomenal things.
Oh, absolutely.
And I know
yeah.
he is. But and as well as who's the other one? We had him on the show. Scotty Matthews.
He
talked about how Lodi was there from day one as a brother, and that's like you said, that's a rareness you find in this business. Someone after all the curtains and a rah-rah is gone. I mean to find someone that actually cared to make sure you was all right. Hey, brother, we're going to get you back on your feet, get you back in the ring.
Yeah.
And like so I appreciate your time, Tim. God bless you for coming on, brother, and keep doing what you're doing, bro. And I hope to see you on June the 18th up in Lake Norman in Huntersville for my first event. I'd be honored to have you, my friend.
Yeah, I'll try to make that happen, absolutely.
Okay, well, I appreciate you, and thanks for calling in, Tim.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, bye-bye. That was phenomenal, Big Country. Tim Dixon on the line. God, that was a great interview.
Yeah, man, it's really good. You know, I've met the guy. Like I said, I've met him a few times. You know, he'd been passing, you know, been on shows that he's, you know, worked, but never really got to talk to the guy. And it was really good to be able to sit here and, you know, get to know Tim and, you know, see the other side of it besides the wrestling and everything like that.
Yeah, he's someone definitely in the business. Like you said, never burnt bridges, but anytime I ever did any kind of anything around him, be it being and having him ring announce, he was always the utmost, the highest in professionalism. He always carried himself with a lot of class. He's a class act through and through.
Definitely.
See, Dustin, I want to share one thing before we take off. I got a Balls Mahoney story, like I can say, because he came in and did CWA in Columbia at the Jamil Temple. Before I met, I got a chance to actually meet him. We were at the hotel before the event, and I had been in Myrtle Beach the week before. And underneath the boardwalk, I found a green plastic football, and I put it in my bag. So that, while I was there talking to him, I said, "Hey, Balls, will you sign one of my balls?" He said, "What the fuck are you talking about, dude?" And I reached inside my bag and pulled out a green football. And he popped. He's like, "Oh, my God, dude." And he signed the football, and he looked at me. He said, "You know, you are the first person in history out of all these years, even ECW, that actually asked me to sign an actual ball." I said, "Well, I figured your name's Balls Mahoney. I have to sign a ball." So he was really cool, man. I got a chance to hang out with him, party with him a little bit. He was a great guy. And I remember I was, you know, I'm always trying to make the most out of everything. I got a place that was in Columbia. I forget the name of it. It was some kind of bar and grill to agree to do an after party there. And the deal was that they would supply some free food for the wrestlers, but the wrestlers had to pick up their own drinks.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, wrestlers came in, they ran up a bar tab and took the fuck off. And, of course, I'm the one that organized the party, so I'm the one holding the ball. And I'm looking at a bar tab, and it's at me, so what's going on, brother? I see sons of bitches ran a damn bar tab up me, brother. He goes, "What is it?" I pulled it out. He said, "You got something on it?" I was like, "Yeah." He said, "Give me $100. I gave him $100, and he picked up the rest of the bar tab. And, so I can truly say Balls was a class act. I mean, I didn't have a lot of experience with him, but I can tell you when I saw Balls, he was a great guy and should have been around a lot longer. Demons and everything that things did to his body over the years, I guess, caught up with him. I mean, I've seen the last, I read a report on his wife that said that he was watching Jeopardy in his easy chair. Everything was fine. He went and laid down on the couch to get a little more comfortable. She said she came out and, he was unconscious. She called the 911 immediately, but before they could come to resuscitate him, he had already passed. So.
Well, you got to remember, that's what happened to Maga also. You know, he came back from doing an overseas tour, and apparently he had suffered, like, you know, got hit in the head a little too hard. And, you know, he flew back over and went to sit in the recliner to go to sleep. And, you know, his wife said, "All right, I got to go run some errands. I'll be back." And he's like, "All right, I'm going to take a nap." And when she came back, he was gone.
Yeah, sometimes it's just, hey, I mean, if you got to go, I mean, go in your seat in your sleep is a lot less painless than having a massive heart attack or a stroke. So, I mean,
yeah.
You could truly say, I mean, if you got to go, that's the way to go. But, I mean, not that I want to see anybody go, but that's the world we live in. Rest in peace. If you believe in God or not, say a prayer of the man, or if you don't believe in God, at least give him a moment of silence. He had a career and it should end too short. So that's enough on that one. I don't want to bring it down on a down note. Let's do it up on a positive note. We had a great interview with Tim Dixon. Next week's interview is none other than Rick Mead, a.k.a. Mastodon, the Masked Man himself. Had a great good friend of mine, a good friend of yours. He's called in before, and we're going to have a great interview with him coming up. And I got more guests and more surprises, and I'm going to keep them under hat. So even you, Big Country, will be surprised. Let's roll that bean footage. Anything you got to say? Any shows you got? Pump them, brother. Pump them. Push it.
Well, you know, just to let everybody know, I am now South Carolina licensed. So, you know, I
there you go.
I went ahead and did that, you know, a little better late than ever. But, yeah, like this Friday night, I'll be wrestling down at Broncos in Gastonia for Milestone Wrestling, defending my Smash Mouth heavyweight title. Saturday, I'll be up in Rutherfordton for UIW, destroying one of your biggest fans, Father Darkness. that'll be fun. May 6th and 7th.
Darkness.
Oh, I love the kid,
but
I love the kid.
He just tried to create some chaos that ain't there, you know.
Like, he tried, I mean, I just shoot on him. I don't give a shit about the guy. I mean, everyone knows I managed the Salem Center 6. He tries to create a controversy between his wrestler and my wrestler to build a match that ain't there. I'm like, the guy's so stupid, he doesn't know better. He could get beat up by six or other wrestlers doing stupid shit like that. But he was just thinking he was trying to create controversy. I was like, look, motherfucker, if I ain't in on the work, it's a shoot. Stupid fuck. You get your ass beat for doing shoots and
wrestling. May 6th and 7th, I'll be down at the Strawberry Festival in Fort Mill, South Carolina, wrestling for Wrestle for a Cure, Chad Adams, who owns American Air and Eaton, in Rock Hill, South Carolina, puts on the show every year. They raise money for the Cancer Society and everything. We're gonna have guys like Bushwhacker Luke, Boogie Woogie Man, Jimmy Valiant, Barbarian, Bobby Fulton, Rock and Roll Express. Barbarian's niece, Lady Top, is going to be there. I'll be there. Deion Johnson. The list is endless. Zane Riley. But it's a two-day thing. Come down there, show support, you know. And then on May 28th, believe it or not, I am booked in a tag team deathmatch tournament with our former guest, I believe was on last week, Justin Fireball. So, wow. You know, it's going to be off Brookshire Boulevard at the American Legion. And so come watch me throw guys into barbed wire and glass. It should be pretty fun.
That's a blast, brother. That day when you're doing the Strawberry Festival, I'm going to be at the Carolina Rebellion, actually enjoying time off away from the great sport of pro wrestling. My best friends at the Texas Hippie Coalition, they're going to be on the main stage at the Carolina Rebellion. And guess what? Yours truly got backstage passes. So, hey, I'm going to be hanging out with the VIPs. The night before, ZZ Top's there. Maybe they'll still be there. I don't know. I'd like to hang out with ZZ Top and meet some other bands besides the hippies that are always kick-ass. So I'm looking forward to that. So that's coming up in the future. So let's roll this beautiful bean footage call tonight. Next week's guest, once again, will be Rick Mead and Mastodon coming up. Shout-out to Timber, Zach Salvation, all our other listeners. Call in every week, 516-387-1469. We'll be here every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. You'll be here, too. Say goodbye, Big Country. Say goodbye.
Peace.
No, I said say goodbye. You got peace.
No, goodbye.
Out of here. Give me a hard time. Later.